I want to talk for a few minutes about the Christmas story and start with this idea, this question about shockwaves. So a shockwave, it's a sharp change in pressure. It can be a widespread feeling of shock caused by an unexpected event. Right, so you understand the idea of a shockwave. So help me out with this. What might be an example of a physical shockwave when somebody experiences something like that? What might be something like that? What was that? A death, yeah. So a physical, a death in a family, that type of thing, certainly sends a shockwave. Yeah. Other types of things that might be a shockwave that we had experienced in the world. Fireworks? Yeah, so the fireworks explode and you can feel the compression in your body. Yeah, and somebody else said? Natural disaster. Yeah, I'm thinking about even a tsunami, right, coming as a shockwave that comes from an earthquake. Things that there's something very significant that happens and we can feel it. And then it's a little bit like what you suggested. What are other ways in which the emotional shockwaves that people might experience? So certainly a death. What might be another kind of emotional shockwave somebody experiences? Betrayal. Betrayal of somebody you've trusted. Yeah, certainly a shockwave that you feel the compression. What else? Sickness, certainly. This can be very dramatic in the effects that it has on us. Anyone else? What's that? Sure, surprises that we have that bring kind of this reaction that we can't even stop. It happens and there it is. How does a society experience a shockwave? How might that happen? An election. Yes, certainly we understand a bit about shockwaves that come with a surprising outcome in an election. And it's felt, right? Right. What else might be a thing that a society itself experiences kind of a shockwave from things? Sure, so something that happens in social media and all of a sudden it just is spread around and there's a shockwave that goes and, yeah, we can't control it, see what's going to happen. Sure. Yeah. So a terrorist attack of thinking of a leader getting killed, perhaps the type of thing that there's no way to miss this. And so this idea that I'm leading up to with this is that big events have big shockwaves. You can't miss it, right? Something very dramatic happens and we all know it. We can feel it, right? You can't miss an earthquake. You can't miss when the tidal wave comes up onto our land. But actually, sometimes there are very dramatic things that really change things, but you can't actually tell when it happens. Any examples that you can think of where something very dramatic happens, but you can't even tell it's happened until a long time later? The internet. Yeah, so some technologies happen. And at first, people asked me, is the internet going to go away? At the time, it seemed like that was a possibility, but right? So something that at first, maybe nothing's going to happen. Another example. What's a star explodes. Yes. Yeah, far, far away, collisions of things. And yeah, this changes. But at the time, you don't even notice anything. It's one I'm thinking in particular. Thinking of a pregnancy. Right? People have to go they have to do a test to find out, am I actually pregnant? Right? If they are, their life is changed for the rest of their lives. Right? Dramatic change. But initially, nobody knows. You can't tell. It doesn't seem like anything really has happened. Sometimes, some of the most dramatic things that happened, you can't even tell when they happened. I want to think for a few minutes about what it's like when God enters our world. What is it like when God enters into your world, into my world? What is it like? Will I know it? Let's ask him to speak. Let's pray that we will hear his voice as he speaks now. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask that you would speak to us now, that we would hear you, to hear your voice. Help us to be aware of your presence with us. And I ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would be at work in each of our hearts, that we would be listening, that as you speak, we would respond. Thank you that you will. Thank you for the gift of your word, the Bible, and for your gift of the Spirit to open our hearts and our minds to accept it, to understand it, and to live life in you. We thank you. Amen. So the title, What at First Seems Small, I'm just going to read a few verses. Actually, if you were here with us this morning in church, we looked at these, and I want to look at them, just this portion of them, very briefly. So I'm going to read these. This is Luke in the New Testament describing the birth of Jesus. He says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So let me just say there was a shockwave. Augustus Caesar says, here's what we're going to do. And in that society, that's what they did. And so many people's lives were changed because of it. People had to travel, they had to leave, the expense, all this complexity, all this changed because this man said, we're going to count people. Probably count people so that they could either serve in the army or pay more money to the government, right? And so it changed their lives, not just for this time, but there were shockwaves because of this. In contrast, no shockwaves when the events of Jesus' birth took place. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. It'd be hard to be much different, more different from Caesar Augustus saying, I think we ought to count people. And all of a sudden, everybody knows it and everything changes. And this event that is the birth of the Son of God. And hardly anybody knew. It didn't make any difference to people. It's just in a small town, in a place with animals in that small town, hardly anybody knew about this event. And yet the Bible teaches this event changed everything. It changed the fabric of humanity because this happened. And yet it happened so silently. So this idea that God entered our world almost silently in the birth of Jesus, right? When God stood back and said, how am I going to fix humanity? What am I going to do? I know I'll send my son. And when he sends his son, he does it in a way that nobody knows. Now, people were told, but when the event came, you couldn't tell. Only if some people were paying attention did they know. And I find this striking. Jesus is God's answer for all that is deeply broken in our lives and in our world. And when he came, nobody heard. When he showed up, people ignored it. It was just silence. And I'm fascinated because I would say that's not at all the way I would plan it. I would get the social media campaign going, and I would do teasers, and we'd say a little bit, and everybody's wondering what's going to happen. I would do all this stuff to draw attention to it. And yet God just silently does this work. His answer to all that deeply is broken in us. And he came with hardly a sound. Almost silence as he enters. I think this is a principle of how God works. In fact, even today, I'm convinced that God enters our lives almost silently, speaking through his word and through his people by his Spirit. I think very often I expect that the presence of God, the word of God, is just going to be so dramatic. It is going to be like fireworks going off and I will feel the compression in my body. I'll think it's going to be like an earthquake and I can't miss it. And so it's just going to be so obvious to everybody. And yet it seems that's not actually the way God often acts. Often he acts very quietly. And so my question is, will we hear him? Right? Will we know when he speaks? When God speaks, how will you know it? I expect thunder and bright lights, and sometimes that's what God does. But most of the time when God speaks, it's very quiet, it's very gentle, it's very humble. And the question is, will we be listening? Right? So help me out with this. How do you listen for quiet and important things? What do you do? What are some of the things you might... Let's imagine that that you're a young parent and the baby's in another room and you're just like, I don't know, is she still breathing? I mean, is, you know, and we listen, something very important. How do you do that? What do you do to listen for something that's very quiet but very important? Stop talking. Yeah, so I have to stop making noise in order to hear. What else might we do? Monitor the situation, meaning?
If you had a baby in another room, you would get a baby monitor.
Sure. Yeah, so we turn on the technology and say, yeah, we have something that brings the sound to us. Good. What else might you do? Wait. Yeah. So significant. Will I wait long enough to hear? Good. Sure, get closer to the thing I want to hear? Yeah, other thoughts. Yes, certainly concentrate on things, right? I won't be sitting there reading a book in the quiet thinking, well, I'll hear it when it comes, right? I give my attention to say, I want to hear this. What was that? Retrace your steps? Yeah, I think, so being close to where the sound is that we want to hear, right? I think these are very significant. I want to just put the idea out there of how do we listen for God? Again, I've had this faulty thinking that when God speaks, the room will shake and there will be lights. But it seems that very often when God speaks, he speaks actually very quietly. And so I have to do things. I have to stop talking. But you know, maybe you do this. I talk a lot in my head without making a sound. Words go over and over and over in my head. And it's so loud, I can't hear God. Sometimes my emotions are so loud, I can't hear him. We've talked a bit in our church about what it is to listen to other people when they have a different pace of speaking than we have. And some of us just, we're ready to speak and we jump in when there's not much happening. And others, it takes longer for the comfort to say, yeah, this is a place where it's appropriate for me to speak. Sometimes I think God is slow to speak. Says, no, I'm not going to make noise if you're just filling the place with noise. We need to slow down. We need to listen. Right? So I want to just think about an example from the Bible. There was a young boy who lived in the temple. His name was Samuel. And at night he heard something and he kept thinking it was the man who was taking care of him, the old priest. And so he'd run and say, what did you want? And this wise old priest told him to just pray, speak, for your servant is listening. And so then that happened. It says the Lord came and stood there calling as at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And the Lord spoke. And he spoke to Samuel. And I'm challenged to think, how often do I turn over and say, oh, I don't know why I can't sleep tonight. Maybe I better take something that will help me sleep. Or, you know, I don't say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. God rarely speaks over us. Right? We need to listen. We need to slow ourselves down for this. I'm convinced that God enters our world and our lives almost silently, speaking through his word and through his people by his spirit. So we need to say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So let me ask you this question. What are some of the noises in our lives today that make it hard to hear God? What are some of the things that just make it hard for us to hear God speaking quietly?
Yelling.
Excellent. Yeah. Yes. Good. Good. What are other things that just are, it's too much noise for us actually to be listening for God? What was that? Busyness. Yeah, very much so. Yeah. Loud music. Yeah, I think that's very true that sometimes I think there must be something I can listen to right now. I get in the car and there must be something I can listen to, right? Instead of silence. Social media. Yeah, so certainly this constant input. News, I need more input, right? I want to hear things. And I can't hear God. What was that?
Talking.
I think that's so true. And so even at a time like Christmas, a wonderful meal with people is a wonderfully good thing. But it might make it so I'm not listening to God. Right? Concern about presence and time together, and these are wonderful things, But I can fill my time with that and not hear God. So my challenge is very simply, how will we slow down to pause, to create space, to say when God shows up in the world, he came silently, and so many people didn't hear it, didn't notice it. How often is he speaking for us, and we haven't slowed down enough to say, God, I want to hear what you have to say. The Christmas carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. I think this is just such a fascinating idea, how silently the wondrous gift was given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. At Christmas, God has entered in our world. This, we celebrate the reality that he has entered our world to live among people to bring his life. And yet, how often we just don't hear. We're not aware of him because we're not slowing down to listen to him. And it can be because it's the first time we're not slowing down ourselves enough to say, you know what, if this is true, I want it. Speak, Lord, your servant's listening. And how often is it just true every day I get up and say, I've got my to-do list to do, and I should wake up and say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So I'd like to just do this for a minute now, and just together we will say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, and leave some silence for us at this time of Christmas to say, God has come. We celebrate his birth. So will we slow down and listen? So together we say the words, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we celebrate the birth of your Son, our Savior, your chosen and anointed Messiah, the rescuer for us. And he is the Lord our God. Father, our lives are filled with so many things that keep our hearts and our minds occupied and noisy. We fail to hear you. Father, I pray that for each of us, tonight, tomorrow, in the coming days, you would help us to calm our hearts, not fill ourselves simply with food and presence and time and relationships, that we would listen for you. Father, I pray that we would respond in faith. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Thank you for sending your word, your Son, to speak your love to us. And so we respond and say thank you. We praise you for your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.